All right, welcome back to the show. Talk NFL playoffs here. I've got my picks coming up second half of the hour. Sports Libs, Tim's got those. But right now, to the phones we go. Brian in Mid-City. What's going on tonight, Brian?
Hey, Seth, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, congratulations. Repeat champion of the Last Lap Fantasy Football League. Congratulations, Brian.
Thank you, Seth. And I do want to say that all the leagues I played in this year, repeating as champion this year was the most important to me, and it was such an honor to play with all the great guys in this league. And to win, I had to go through Scott Alexander and Scott Smith, and it was no easy task. Scott Smith is always tough to beat in our league, as he's a huge fantasy guru.
Yeah, thanks, man. No, we'll do it again next year, no doubt about it.
Well, that sounds awesome. A couple of points I want to make here. One, the front four for Philadelphia is pretty much the same front four our offensive line faced last time, and they may have learned some lessons from that game, but I doubt it's going to be enough to overcome our offensive line. Now, another point I want to make here is it's kind of a question: how many playoff games has Sean Payton and Drew Brees lost in the Superdome?
Well, that would be a big fat zero, right?
Yeah, correct. Yep. Yeah.
So unless I'm missing one somewhere, I know it's zero is the correct answer there. And nobody seems to be able to come in here, Brian, and beat the Saints, kind of like New England and Seattle and some of these other great home field advantages, right? It's here. And I don't expect the Eagles to come in here and win. I just don't. I think it's going to be closer than that 41-point win, but Saints are favored and pretty heavy favorites, 8 points for a reason, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think they're going to get run over like they did last time. And you know, their quarterback, their number nine, is pretty good, and he's great in clutch games where there's a lot at stake. But our number nine is a lot better, even though they came from the same high school.
Yes, and that is interesting that they came from the same high school. I heard Drew Brees talking about this in his press conference he had yesterday in the Saints locker room, that he went back to his high school for his 10-year reunion. And the quarterback, when he went back to his high school, of course, the high school quarterback was Nick Foles. It's interesting there. Foles terrifies me as far as if he has the ball late in the game. Does Philadelphia terrify me? No, I've been talking about that. We'll get to my predictions here in just a little bit. Brian, thank you for the call. Just to run through our Sunday coverage one more time, we'll start it at 11 a.m. Saints Sunday here on WWL. It's Cicadian Windows Fans First Take with myself and Steve Court. That's 11 to 1:30. And then Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick will be here for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff at the Superdome between gates A and B. Game time 3:40. That is Zach, Deuce, and Steve Geller. And then after the game, hopefully it's a celebration on the point after at Felix's Restaurant and Oyster Bar at the lake. So that is 9 hours plus of Saints game day coverage right here on WWL. Also, if you are on the North Shore, and you guys have been clamoring for this, guys and gals have been clamoring for this, we're going to have a live show on Saturday with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, and myself. We're going to be at Rouse's on the North Shore, Bootlegger Road, the brand new one up there in Covington. That is noon to 3 on Saturday. So you'll have a couple of chances to see Bobby and Deuce and come hang out with ourselves. We always have just a blast with this. We've been doing about one show a month on Saturdays throughout the season, and this is our playoff version. Maybe we'll have one before the Super Bowl. I never know here. But right now, come and hang out Saturday, noon to 3, up there at Rouse's on the North Shore. Tim, I'm interested to hear what you say about these AFC playoff games. I wanted to ask you, so I didn't ask you yesterday. And this is going to be our opinion poll tomorrow. I've already put the show together for tomorrow, but who is the underdog that's most likely to win? And I think you got to go to the AFC, right? You're either looking at the Colts or the Chargers there, or maybe you think the Cowboys or Eagles are going to win, but what do you think about these AFC playoff games?
Well, the only underdog that I took this weekend to cover, or not cover, but just win on, you know, straight up, was the Colts. I think the Colts, they right now, if you from like week 7, mm-hmm. week 7 on, the Colts have like one of the top three defenses in the NFL right now, mostly because their middle linebacker, he's been amazing. He's an all-pro middle linebacker. I think the Colts are like one of two, the first team ever to have a rookie all-pro on at both positions on their team. Like, I know the Saints had two good rookies last year, but neither of them, I don't think either
all pro.
They
no,
they didn't make all pro. Nope. I think the Kelly, the center for the Colts, made all pro, and their middle linebacker made all pro this year. So I just think the Colts, they had some struggles. They started off 1-5, but a lot of it was because they had young players, and now those players have kind of regressed. So I think this Colts defense is for real. I think the Colts offense is finally coming along. Andrew Luck's finally running the football. I mean, he didn't run the ball all year. Now he's running the football. The offense is really good. And the one the X factor in this game is Marlon Mack. I think Marlon Mack, being what he did the last couple weeks and what he did against the Texans, if he can run for 100 yards on the Texans, he can certainly run over the Chiefs' defense. So I just think that the Colts, they can win this game. The only thing I have against this is that it's an Arrowhead. But yet the Colts, I mean, the Chiefs haven't won an Arrowhead since Montana was there. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. They've lost 6 straight home games in the playoffs. You think of that home field advantage is great. And in the regular season it is, but playoffs, not so much.
I think the Colts are there. I don't like the Chargers just because this is the Chargers' third straight road game. I know they played in Denver in Week 17.
8-1 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, every game's pretty much been on the road for them. But, like, they went to Denver, flew back home to L.A., then they flew to Baltimore last week, then they flew back to L.A., and now this week they're flying from L.A.
I'm surprised they didn't stay on the East Coast, right?
They flew in on – they're flying in tomorrow, so they're going to spend a whole 24 hours in New England. So I think just travel catches up to you with the Chargers. And I do like Melvin Gordon. He's a little hurt. If he was fully healthy, I'd be – I think when you look at the team itself, like how they play this year, you can argue the Chargers are the better team. But I just think New England being at home and all that travel the Chargers have done, I think New England wins the game somehow.
Yeah, it's interesting. Something's going to have to give there because the Patriots are undefeated at home this year, the only team in the NFL to go undefeated at 8-0. And like we just said, the Chargers, they are now 8-1 if you include the playoffs on the road. And this will be their second week back-to-back where they play at 10 a.m. body time, 10 a.m. West Coast time, out on the East Coast. And eventually, you think that's going to catch up with them, right?
Here's a good question. Is home field advantage more important than any other team than it is for the Patriots?
Well, if you look at Spygate and the locker room shenanigans, I mean, and Deflategate, and some people would say yes.
I think home field advantage means more to the Patriots than it does the Seahawks and the Saints. Because I think you go in New England in the playoffs, you're not winning. It just look at the numbers.
There's always seems to be some shenanigans going on up there in Foxborough. That's what I will say. That's certainly not a place where I would want to play. You had posed the question yesterday, how many road teams are going to win? I will say one. That's the one. One of these road teams is going to win. Hopefully it's not the Eagles. Got Pelicans discussion coming up in just a little bit. But first, as promised, time to make our NFL picks for the week. We usually do this on Thursday. A quartet of games. I've told you my second or third favorite sports weekend. Really sports week of the year right there with the first week of the NCAA basketball tournament. It's divisional playoff time, and here's my picks for the week. Saints-Eagles, we'll start with that one. Saints are 8-point favorites, and I've told you all week, I think that line by Vegas, and I don't always say this, but I think that line is just spot on. I had the most trouble picking that one against the spread. I've gone back and forth, just for full disclosure here, so you don't think I'm just, you know, flip-flopping here. I was doing sports radio up in Philadelphia earlier today, and I did say the Saints win. I said 28-24, but I got to thinking about this, so that wouldn't be a cover. I got to thinking about this more. And the longer I think about it, there's just too big of a talent disparity at multiple positions. And also, that dome field advantage, I also think, is going to be a little bit too much for Philadelphia. So, officially here, this will be my official prediction for the Saints. And I wrote this online. 35-24, Saints win, Saints cover on Sunday. The other games will stay in the NFC. Rams hosting the Cowboys. Rams are 7.5-point favorites here. Got the hook finally, and I'll take the hook. Cowboys cover. This should be a relatively low-scoring game, which is why the over-under is only 49.5. The reason for that is Dallas is going to completely take the air out of the football. Dallas is usually very good at limiting turnovers. The Rams, by the way, have not been good at that late in the season. I do think the Rams win this game, but I'm going to take the Cowboys to cover here again in a relatively low scoring game. I will take the Rams 27 and the Cowboys 20, so I'll take the hook there. And the Cowboys cover, but the Rams win. Tim, you said rain there on Sunday. Is that right? Weather could be Saturday. Weather could be a factor all over the place here. Speaking of this, we thought it was going to be good weather for the Chiefs and Colts in Kansas City. Well, apparently not. It might snow there on Saturday. Is that right, Tim?
Oh, in Kansas City, yeah. The weather's looking like there could be 2 inches of snow right before kickoff. Also, if you look at that Saturday night game, that game itself on NBC, I don't know if it's on NBC, but that game itself is usually the game that you get upsets with, because last year you saw the Falcons take down the Rams. So you never know. The Rams lost to the Falcons.
The Falcons, yeah.
So that game, it's big for upsets.
Okay, so we'll do Colts and Chiefs here. Colts are a 5.5-point underdog. I've told you all week I'm taking the Colts against the spread here. I told you yesterday I don't know exactly who I'm going to take in this game. The weather starts to scare me here. If I'm a Colts fan, your run defense is just abysmal, and if it snows, you're going to see a lot more running than you usually would otherwise. However, you've got the likely NFL MVP. You're giving Andy Reid an extra week. And remember, regardless of how relatively poor Andy Reid has been in the playoffs, he is still the greatest coach in NFL history off a bye. Nobody's talking about this. He is the greatest coach, winning percentage-wise, in NFL history off a bye. That is real for Andy Reid. Colts will not win this game, but they will cover. I've got the Chiefs 30. The Colts 27. I do think Andrew Luck will have that football late. Maybe a chance to win. We will see. Chiefs advance. Final game on the docket here. Patriots at the Chargers. And oh boy, I had no idea where to go with this one. I was talking to Ralph Michaels, our Vegas handicapper, yesterday. And look, the more talented team here, there's nobody who objectively covers NFL football that's going to tell you the Patriots are more talented. No, it's not. The Chargers are the more talented team. The Chargers right now have a quarterback who's playing better than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's great. Phillip Rivers, the better quarterback right now. Better running game, better offensive line, better defensive line. Patriots have the edge in special teams. Patriots have the edge in the secondary with a guy like Stephon Gilmore. But home field advantage, we just talked about too much this time of year in New England. Playoff Brady is real. You give Bill Belichick an extra week to prepare for you. That's usually big-time trouble. You always, and I will hammer this into your heads, if you ever take one thing away from this show this year, maybe today, maybe not today, but at least one of the things you take away from this show, sports betting-wise, blindfold yourself. Take New England when they are at home against the spread. Blindfold yourself. Take Seattle when they're at home against the spread. You'll make a ton of money. You would have been rich if you'd done that the last 10, 15 years. So what you will do, you will blindfold, Tim says, always bet against Hugh Jackson. Maybe that too. No, but seriously, blindfold yourself here and just take New England against the spread. New England 4-point favorites. I'll take New England by an even touchdown here. I will go New England 27. And the Chargers 20. That's my NFL picks. I have the Chiefs, the Rams, the Patriots, and Saints. A home sweep? Probably not going to happen. We'll see a surprise, likely maybe two along the way. But those are my NFL picks. Tim, give us your NFL picks here across the board here.
In the first game, I have the Colts winning that game. I don't have a score, but I'll just give you straight up who wins. I have the Colts winning the first game. I think the Rams, they win the NFC game on Saturday night. I do think the Cowboys keep it close, because I think the only way they're going to win the game is by running Ezekiel Elliott. On Sunday, I have the Patriots winning, and I also have the Saints winning on Sunday.
So you have one upset.
If the upset's going to be the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the Cowboys keeping it close, but I don't think the Cowboys are good enough to win.
Yeah, so nobody.
I think it's going to be 1-2, 1-2 going into your AFC and NFC championships.
The public is all over the Colts here. Ralph Michaels was also talking about that yesterday. The underdog Colts. We will see if they win or not. Let's get a phone call in here, 504-260-1870. Joey in Pearl River. What's up, Joey?
Hey, dude.
Hey, man.
Thanks. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm curious. Did you hear that San Diego. The Chargers signed another kicker?
I guess I haven't been paying enough attention there. No, I hadn't.
They've got two on the roster now. And I was just curious, you know, if maybe they did that because, you know, it may be like an omen that they're going to New England and take care of business. And then if the Colts take care of business in Kansas City, then where would they play the championship game?
Yeah, I always wondered that. They'll play at the StubHub Center. I was wondering a couple of weeks ago, Joey, to your point here, if the Chargers would host a game, would they put it in the Rose Bowl? Would they throw it over there in the Coliseum? Just from a numbers perspective, but here you go. I'm not talking about an attendance numbers perspective. But here's the thing. I still don't think they would fill up, obviously, the Rose Bowl, which is a 100,000-seat stadium there, or the Coliseum, which is close to that, too. So I don't think they want a stadium that is, you know, half full for the NFL playoffs. They can probably get 24,000, 27,000 out there in the StubHub Center. That'd be interesting. The 5 against the 6 seed, which is, by the way, never happened in the NFL. We've never seen a 5 seed host a conference championship game. You thought it would have happened by now. It has not. But also remember, in the last 5 years, a road team's never won a conference championship game. We'll see if that changes this year. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have Sports Libs, also some Pelicans conversation here. And the phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text line 870-870. Tim Zimmer, I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap on WWL. I really want to mention the targeting penalty. We got lost in the shuffle last hour, and if you're still listening, I told you the targeting penalty may change in college football. They're discussing a rule change that's going to look like, if you follow basketball, either the college or the NBA level, they have a flagrant one, a flagrant two, depending on the severity of it. They're thinking about doing the same thing with the targeting rule here, which I think actually would be pretty darn good. It's a way to reduce the severity of the penalty if it is non-intentional. So non-intentional targetings would receive the targeting one penalty, which would be a less severe penalty for a non-malicious incidental violation of the targeting rule. 15-yard penalty. Targeting two would be like a flagrant two in basketball. Severe penalty, that would be malicious intent. That could include the one game suspension, even multiple game suspensions for repeat offenders. Obviously, LSU at the center of this with the Devin White and Grant Delpit situations this year. So we'll see how that changes. Now, Joey in Pearl River mentioned that the Los Angeles Chargers had signed a second kicker, and which I didn't know. Apparently, Nick Rose is his name, kickoff specialist. So he'll kick off against the Patriots. And Tim Zimmer just brought in a picture of Nick Rose. I would just say he has interesting hair. Google him. I'm trying to describe this hair of Nick Rose. And look, this is a college picture. If you pull up my college pictures, Nick Rose, look, I'm not coming for you, because I guarantee if you see some of my college pictures, I'm going to look just as kind of silly. Legitimately, you can probably find those places. But what is this? This is like some, well, I was going to say it's Justin Bieber, but it's not even, it's Bieber if he was on like a surfer beach for like 9 months and didn't cut his hair, but still left the gel in and just kind of crusted up. This is interesting. How did you find this picture, Tim?
If Justin Bieber was 22 years old, but he still had the same haircut as a 15-year-old and he was really hungover, that's what it would look like.
Yeah, that's fine. Look, Nick Rose is kicking in the NFL, so he obviously figured it out. And I'm sure he's got to figure that out. He doesn't still have that same hair, does he? Can't have that same hair. No way.
He played for the Atlanta Falcons before this, and he has short hair.
Okay, there you go. He figured it out. Good for you, Nick Rose. Okay, we'll get to some Pelicans here in just a second. But first, very Garrett Hartley-like, Tim says. Okay, Sports Libs, Tim. Come on in. We do this every day, Mad Libs style. Tim's got a host of little questions here. If you ever played Mad Libs, same kind of idea here. He's got a fill-in-the-blank or a question, and we riff this. I haven't seen these before. And it's a little rapid fire here. Sports Libs underway. Here we go.
All right, the first question, if the NFL team or teams that lost in the wildcard round last week that will not make next year's playoffs will be blank.
Yeah, we were having this conversation off the air, so I know you think it's Chicago. I disagree. I think Chicago is too good to not make the playoffs next year. I'm not a Bill O'Brien fan. Especially in that division with the Colts, who I think could be the Super Bowl favorite next year. I really do, by the way. I'm not just saying that. At least in the AFC, I think they'll be the favorites to make the Super Bowl next year. It's too good. I think it's the Texans. You said teams?
Team or teams.
Let's see. The Seahawks are going to be better, I think. They're very young. Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, so I'm not picking against them. Maybe the Ravens and the Texans, I guess.
if the Ravens have Lamar Jackson, I mean, you don't know how that's going to go. I feel like he's a one-trick pony, and that's why the Chargers beat him, because they figured him out because they played him before.
Yeah, you give him a year in that system, though, and that defense, one of the better young units in the league. I don't know. Yeah, I'll say the Ravens and Texans. Final answer.
All right, question number two. Tom Brady will win blank amount of Super Bowls from right now until he retires.
Zero. He's not going to win one this year. They're not good enough. This would probably be his best work. This would be Bill Belichick and Tom Brady's best work. This is going to be Super Bowl VI if they win one. And they're not going to be the favorites from here on out. The Colts are going to be the favorites in the AFC. Mark it down. You look at the sports books in 2 months, and then after the draft, I guarantee you the Indianapolis Colts will be the favorite in the AFC. Mark it down, book it, mark the tape, and then come at me.
All right, question number three. The NFL players have voted Cam Newton the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
When?
It was an anonymous vote they did over the week.
This week?
Yeah, it came out today. A bunch of players anonymously voted who the most underrated and most overrated quarterbacks were. And Cam Newton was number one for most underrated quarterback. I ask you, blank is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
Well, it's not Cam Newton. Like, it's just not.
The most overrated was Eli Manning, by the way.
I don't think Eli Manning is overrated anymore. Eli Manning's getting a lot of hate. That is a great question. The most underrated quarterback in the NFL. I would have said Alex Smith before he got hurt, but I guess you got to take him out.
He was one of the three.
Yeah.
Cam, I want to say Alex Smith. I have to look it up in another guy. I think maybe Russell Wilson.
I mean, I can't say Russell Wilson anymore because he's getting MVP love. Everybody thinks he's one of the five best quarterbacks now. Nobody thinks that, you know, Russell Wilson is garbage anymore. I can't say Russell. That's such a great question here. The most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
It was Philip Rivers, Alex Smith, and Cam.
It's not Philip, though. Everybody's on this. I actually think Philip Rivers, if anything, is just like slightly overrated because everybody thinks, you know, he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the league, which I don't think. I think he's great. I don't think he's Drew or
Brady.
I've really got to think about this here for a second. Tim, who would you say? I'm just curious. I don't want to piggyback off you. I'm just curious. Give me a second to think here.
I kind of think Philip Rivers is up there because I think Rivers is good enough to win them. Make it the playoffs, but I don't think he's good enough to win the championship. I think this year he has a good shot if they can get past New England.
I mean, Kirk Cousins is so bad in big games. I can't say Kirk Cousins.
He was the most overrated quarterback voted on.
Yeah, I just.
Eli Manning was number two.
Maybe Matt Ryan. You know what? Matt Ryan's gotten a lot of hate. He had a fantastic year. You're not going to want to hear that here. Won an MVP 2 years ago, and then everybody thinks he's just garbage because, well, the Falcons haven't been very good this year anyways, and their offense wasn't very good last year. I'll say Matt Ryan. He gets too much hate. If you look at the advanced analytics this year, sorry, Saints fans, at me on Twitter if you want. I'll say Matt Ryan. Right now, I think he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league.
Could you say Drew Brees?
No.
Going into the season?
Going into the season? Maybe.
I mean, I think when you look at the top quarterbacks, Drew Brees is pretty underrated.
I'm just racking my brain here to think of all the quarterbacks. I can't really say Dak because I think Dak is pretty properly rated. He's a middle of the road quarterback. In the AFC East, you got Brady, then nobody else really.
Andrew Luck?
No, everybody thinks Andrew Luck is great. AFC West, it's not Case Keenum. Everybody's on board with Patrick Mahomes. It's not Philip Rivers. It's got to be somebody like Matt Ryan, right?
Unless you're like,
it's not Cam. Get off this. I can't believe who was this survey to?
NFL players were
what? Panthers players?
It could be NFC South players.
People are saying Nick Foles here on the text line. I don't think Nick Foles is underrated. If anything, you could probably make an argument he's overrated just because of his playoff success. And again, if you look at the stats and the analytics, he's kind of a middle-of-the-road quarterback.
I did hear Nick Foles is the kid or is the person you would give your car keys to go get you some milk.
Uh-huh.
But Nick Foles is not the person you want to give your car keys to if you want to own the car because they'll eventually wreck it.
I don't know how anybody says Cam Newton is an underrated quarterback. I mean, I would put him in the opposite category. That just shocks the heck out of me. Before the season, I probably would have said something like Russell Wilson and, yeah, maybe Drew Brees. I mean, if you go Maurice Jones' view, Drew, I mean, whatever, Matt Ryan.
Who would be your most overrated?
Cam Newton. No, I'm not even just saying that because of what we have. I've been saying this all year long. I mean, I've done multiple shows on it. Cam Newton.
What about Ryan Tannehill?
Well, like, come on. Does anybody think Ryan Tannehill is good?
I mean, he's pretty overrated. He's still a starting quarterback. Who's continued?
Kirk Cousins maybe now.
He was voted number one, yeah.
He's the most overpaid quarterback, $84 million guaranteed.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, the final question, it's going to blow your mind. Stephen A. Smith today on ESPN ranked his top 10 or top 5 NFL playoff quarterbacks. I want your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Luck.
Wait a minute. How is it like that are playing now?
Yeah, currently okay. Right now in the playoffs. This is his top 5. Number 1, Andrew Luck. Number 2, Patrick Mahomes. Number 3, Phillip Rivers. Number 4, Dakota Prescott. And number
Dakota Prescott.
And number 5, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's number 5 as his top 5 playoff quarterbacks.
So Drew Brees doesn't even make Stephen A. Smith's top 5.
What did you think of this top 5? It's blank.
Missing a player. Because actually, if they would have thrown Drew, I could live with Drew at 3 there. I would disagree with it, but I could live with if you go Luck, Mahomes, Drew. But if you're putting Drew Brees below Dak Prescott?
He has Dak Prescott as his 4th best playoff.
Did he lose a bet with Skip Bayless or something and then he had to do this because he's all anti-Cowboys all the time?
He has Pat Mahomes at number 2 and he hasn't even played in the playoffs. So I don't get it. Luck, Mahomes,
This was the same guy that forgot who was on the Chargers roster earlier this year. Did he forget that Drew Brees is still playing in the NFL?
We are 1 week away from Hunter Henry actually playing for the Chargers against the Chiefs.
How do you not have Drew Brees in the top 5? Again, I would have him. I mean, in my mind, how was the question framed?
His top 5 ranking or top 5 quarterbacks currently in the playoffs right now. What does he have him ranked going into this weekend's games? He has Luck at 1.
Okay, I would say Luck. If I'm being objective here, as far as how they're playing right now, I could see Luck at 1. I could see, okay, my personal ranking, Luck at 1. As far as they're playing right now, Brees at 2, Rivers at 3, Mahomes at 4, and I guess Brady at 5. Now, if I'm talking about playoff legacy or just top quarterbacks in the playoffs, who do I want as my starting quarterback? I don't know how anybody's not going to say Tom Brady, so you throw him at 1. I'd go Drew 2, Luck 3, I guess Mahomes 4, because Rivers hasn't had playoff success, so you can't just say, Phillip Rivers, because he's older. No, he hasn't had really playoff success.
Is Rain Prescott making your top 5 in any list? I mean, Nick Foles could be in your top 5 the way he's playing.
I would put him over Dak.
Yeah.
What is going on here with these people?
I call it clickbait. So. You never
know. Stephen A. Smith's middle name is clickbait.
He's got a lot of hate on Twitter lately.
What? Okay, we'll take a quick break here and come back. A little quick commentary on what we see from the national talking hedge with the Pelicans. I got into it with a national writer. It's a little too harsh. We were going back and forth with a national writer on Twitter today. And we'll close with a little audio from Pat Swilling on our Moment of Zen as the last lap wraps up next. Pelicans 3-game win streak. They'll be back in action on Saturday as they embark on a 5-game, very critical and pivotal road trip. Really quickly here, I called out a national writer, his name's Zach Lowe, very good writer for ESPN, one of the best out there, for his hypocrisy here with the Pelicans and how he covers other teams. Zach Lowe has been advocating for 2 years now that the Pelicans blow it up and trade Anthony Davis to a bigger market. Zach Lowe today wrote about, everybody's got to stop calling for trades with the Philadelphia Eagles in some of the bigger markets. I thought it was total hypocrisy. I called him out for it, and then we had Zach Lowe kind of tweet back at me and get a little angry. I triggered him a little bit, and we don't have a lot of time here, but what I will say is I am sick and tired of these national talking heads, the NBA Twitter Illuminati, trying to blow up small market teams and consolidate NBA power in the bigger markets. It's absurd. Zach Lowe's at the center of that. You can go find our Twitter conversation online. Thanks to Tim Zimmer, Diane Newman, Todd Benesis. Also, thanks to our guests, Josh Liskowitz, Steve Court, Tyler Nunes. Find our show on the podcast if you missed any of it. Apple Podcasts, radio.com app, or WWL.com. I'm Seth Dunlap. We're back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Handing it off to Beyond Reality Radio. And here is our Moment of Zen. Tonight on the Players Show, Pat Swilling